Committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1731 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Perkerson, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Send the bill forward. Report forward. Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Resolution 1762, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the resolution do pass.
Senator from the 23rd.
Also, House Concurrent Resolution 49 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the concurrent resolution do pass. Also, House Concurrent Resolution 46 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the concurrent resolution do pass. Also, House Concurrent Resolution 43 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the concurrent resolution do pass. Also, House Concurrent Resolution 25 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the concurrent resolution do pass. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate go to the order of business of House bills on third reading.
House bills on third reading, formal calendar. House Bill 1051. House Bill 1170. Senator from Polk.
I'll lay that, Mr. President, I'm going to lay that bill over.
The bill shall be laid on the informal calendar. House Bill 1036 with Senate Committee Substitute Senator from St. Francis. That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1150, the Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, would you lay that bill on the informal calendar, please?
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1361, the Senator from Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask that be put on the informal calendar.
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1072, the Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, would you please lay that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1563, the Senator from Christian. Senator from the 23rd.
Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill shall be placed on the informal calendar. House Bill 1337 with Senate Committee Substitute, the Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, would you place that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar as well. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1722, the Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. House Committee Substitute. Senator from Cape. Senator from the 23rd.
Would you recognize the Senator from Cape?
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent of the Senate to suspend Senate Rule 52 for the purpose of taking House Committee Substitute to House Bill 1731 up for third reading. Mr. President, if I can explain my unanimous consent request.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. As many individuals know, there have been discussions for the greater part of the session on reaching a resolution to the budget and a permanent veteran source of funding. That is embodied in the information that has been distributed to you, the Senate substitute, some amendments that you see that have been distributed. The first step in order to get into this process and move into a direction of dealing with the veterans bill, funding bill, and then dealing with the budget is this unanimous consent request. As the members well know, Rule 52 of the Missouri Senate requires any bill to lie on the calendar for a legislative day. What I am seeking to do, because the bill was turned in, it was heard in fiscal review, and is now in a position to be perfected and ultimately third read by this body, is asking the indulgence of the body, by unanimous consent, to be able to proceed without meeting the requirements of Rule 52. I would be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my request.
The senator from Clay was first on her feet. For what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, are we on a unanimous consent motion, or are we on adoption of the...
We are on the senator from Capes motion for unanimous consent. Request unanimous consent to suspend Rule 52.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Lynn.
Part of the senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape, you yield.
I yield.
He does.
Thank you, Senator. As you work through this, as we work through the next few steps, I thought you would find it interesting to know that a good friend of mine, Kenna O'Reilly, is serving as the page of the day, and she's sitting up there right now. Her parents are, I grew up with her folks. They're great people. Her grandfather, Larry Apple, is over here to the side, and she's going to be running back and forth, and I just knew you'd find that interesting.
I think that is very interesting, and I think it would also be nice if during our inquiry the Senate would welcome her in her capacity as the page and say thanks for coming up to the Capitol.
I hope the Senate would
please
join
me. Because we know if your visitors are anything like my visitors, I know that she is making such a sacrifice because rather than being here at the Capitol, she would much rather be in school right now taking a test or studying very, very hard.
I would ask my colleagues to please join me in welcoming Kennedy.
Very good.
We're on the unanimous consent request. The senator from Green.
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape Girardeau, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, can you tell me before we proceed with your unanimous consent motion what kind of lies ahead for the next day or two? Because I'd just like to be fully informed before we proceed.
I don't know exactly what lies ahead in the next day or two. I can tell you what my intentions are.
That's what I'm curious
about.
That's
about all that I can speak to.
Yeah.
Is that fair enough?
Yes.
What my intentions are is if we are able to get the unanimous consent request to suspend Rule 52, then I will make a motion to request that House Committee Substitute to House Bill 1731 be brought up for third reading. And at that time, it's my intention to move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute and then move for the adoption of a Senate Substitute that has already been distributed. I think we have a couple of amendments that I've seen that have been distributed that we have to go through in that process, but it is my hope that we will be able to get through those amendments once they are offered and that we will be able to perfect and third read, because that's what we do with House bills on the Senate. We perfect and third read all at the same time, this House Bill 1731. It's my understanding that once that occurs, we will then be in a position to move forward, and the House will be in a position to feel comfortable to move forward with the conference committee reports on the budget. I don't want to speak for anyone, but getting to the specific natures of any dealings, I think the senator from Polk and the senator from Boone in their respective charges, I could address some of those other ancillary issues outside of this. I've worked with both the senator from Boone and the senator from Polk to reach a broader consensus and an agreement, but I think they've been the quarterbacks of those issues. I've been the quarterback of this veterans bill issue.
And I see, I'm looking at the bill here, and I see it's got the language in it dealing with private entities and what they can and can't do. And I understand there's been some sort of a deal on higher education funding this morning or last night. I'm not really sure. I was not involved in that. I just am trying to figure out what the rush is, because we've had a meltdown here for 2 days and nothing has happened. We're I realize that perhaps that's the way that it's perceived that this place is supposed to work. I don't think so, and I just can't figure out now what the rush is that we move this along and suspend the rules.
Senator, it's well within your prerogative to object if you feel so inclined.
Well, I think at this point I will, because I feel like I'm moving in the dark, so, you know, and I may be the bane of the body, but I would like to be able to look at what's going on and know what's been discussed, have opportunity to talk with the folks that were involved in some sort of agreement, you know, and at least be involved in it if my school is going to get the constituents that I represent are going to get the raw end of the deal. I probably should have at least been invited to the discussion and know that it was going on, so I will object.
Fair enough. Objection. I'm not going to make a motion to suspend.
Senator from the second.
Consent to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I didn't think you would grant this, so now I have to find someone to introduce. I was really trying, Mr. President, to point out the hypocrisy that you let the senator from Nottoway do it, but you weren't going to do it for me. But you are a great American and a true friend. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Cape.
Who has the floor?
The senator from the second was recognized for introduction of special guests. There was no objection. Right. The senator from Green has the floor on the inquiry to you.
Okay, but he sat down.
So the floor... Yes, so we're,
seeking,
on, we're on. We're on your
Mr.
request.
Mr. President, I'm Senator seeking recognition.
Senator from Cape.
Okay. I would withdraw my motion.
The motion has been withdrawn.
Okay.
The request has been withdrawn to suspend Rule 52. Senator from St. Francois.
So you inquire the senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Mr. President, hold on. Could
Sir, from St. Francis.
Could I ask unanimous consent to stand at ease?
Hearing no objection, we'll stand.
Object to standing at ease.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come to order. It's back in session. The Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. My inquiry.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent to rule to suspend Senate Rule 52 for the purpose of taking up House Committee Substitute to House Bill 1731 for third reading.
The Senator from Cape has made a request to suspend Rule 52. Does any senator? Hearing no objection. Rule 52 is suspended pursuant to Senator from Cape's request.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would now move that House Committee Substitute to House Bill 1731 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Cape Girardeau. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. Mr. President, I do have a Senate Substitute. It has been distributed. I request a waiver of the reading. I move for its adoption. I am now sending the Senate Substitute forward.
Send it forward. Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived. Senator, do you care to explain the Senate Substitute?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do and appreciate the indulgences of the body and the Senator from Green. Having an opportunity to have his concerns addressed, and appreciate the indulgence of the body in the suspension of Rule 52 to proceed as expeditiously as possible as we can with the adoption of this Senate substitute. I have distributed to everyone a copy of the Senate substitute. You have received that. You've also received chart, if you will, looks like this. And what this chart will do visually, and I think it's easier when we start talking about distribution of proceeds, visually show you how the $1 boarding fee will flow if the Senate substitute is adopted for House Bill 1731. Now remember, there are $2 on boarding fees. $1 comes to the state and is distributed by the state. The other dollar stays on the local level. So I think it's very important when we talk about all the proposals, and I just want to take a few moments to explain where we've been in this process. During the governor's state of the state and the governor's original proposal of his administration's budget, they proposed an additional $1 increase to that boarding fee, moving the boarding fees from $2 to $3, thus having $2 that come into the state. Right now, there's a $2 boarding fee. $1 goes to the local, $1 goes to the state. What I am focused on, what we are focused on in the Senate substitute and what is before the body is how we deal with that $1 boarding fee that comes to the state. The House rejected increasing that $1 boarding fee and had a plan that they moved forward. The Senate evaluated that, and the plan that I am bringing before the body for its consideration and request for adoption is spelled out visually or diagram visually in this chart. And if I can, I'll go through it so that we understand veterans funding in the way that this boarding fee will be dealt with if the Senate substitute is adopted and House Bill 1731 becomes law. Before I want to get in that, I do just want to take a moment during my explanation. We have a guest that's in the gallery and has been in the gallery and followed this issue from the beginning. And oftentimes many legislators will come out and an issue will pass in spite of their efforts, and then they'll try to run to the very beginning of it. But in this particular case, Representative David Day, who is in the gallery, has worked with me and other individuals from the beginning of this process, and it has worked to such an extent that I do want, as I begin to start explaining this, to acknowledge his efforts, to thank his efforts, and the ability of remaining calm and level-headed through this legislative process. He's done a yeoman's work, and I really do appreciate his efforts and his statesmanship as he has diligently, as much as any and more than most, pursued this issue and passage of this legislation in his capacity as a state representative. So thank you very much, and I would be remiss in not acknowledging your efforts and really do appreciate the opportunity of working with you in this. So thank you very much. And with that, what the Senate has moved forward with, spelled out in this diagram, is the $1 boarding fee. What we will have is continue a DYS juvenile court diversion of $500,000. And then the remaining will flow first $5 million for the Missouri College Guarantee Fund, Access Missouri Scholarships. Then $297,683 to the Compulsive Gamblers Fund. And then we will continue the way it is now, that the Missouri National Guard Trust Fund receives a minimum of $4 million and can receive, pursuant to the appropriations process and the Appropriations Committee, up to an additional $1.5 million for a total of $5.5 million. On this point, I just want to make a brief explanation, because this is a little bit of a departure.
It's getting a little loud on the floor and on the side of the chamber here. Can we tone those conversations down so we can hear this important debate? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are on the issue of the Missouri National Guard Trust Fund. In current law, in the current way that we deal with it, they receive $4 million. There has been testimony and discussions that, based on the cyclical nature of their main responsibility, which is to provide the honor guards secondary to funerals, that their needs can rise all the way up to $5.5 million. What I have put as a provision of the Senate substitute that is a departure from where the House has previously dealt with this, and I visited with Representative Day, and he is supportive of this change, is that instead of guaranteeing the Missouri National Guard Trust Fund $5.5 million, we are going to keep their funding level as it is currently, and then authorize through the appropriations process that additional $1.5 million as needed and as justified and as approved through the appropriations process. So that additional $1.5 million will sit in the Veterans Commission's Capital Improvement Fund for the funding of nursing homes, unless the appropriations process sees fit to divert up to $1.5 million or any amount in between zero and that additional $1.5 million. But that is a departure from the methodology in which the House has moved forward. But I think we've worked that out with the House, and the Missouri National Guard also is supportive of that change and has testified to that in committee. The bulk of the remaining amount of the $1 boarding fee, $36 million, $36.6 million, would then flow into the Veterans Commission Capital Improvement Fund. Of that, the Veterans Commission administration costs will be about $4.7 million. The Veterans Service Office grants are about $1.6 million. And then the remaining amount of dollars is a transfer to the Veterans Home Fund to fund operations of veterans homes, $21.5 million plus fringes in House Bill 5 and House Bill 13 for the employees. The remaining dollars will sit in the Veterans Capital Improvement Fund until and unless allocated by the appropriations process. So we still have the ability to approve any of those capital investments. There's been debate about the need for a new veterans' homes. There's been debate about rehabbing the veterans' home in Mexico, Missouri. The appropriations process will still have the ability to approve what comes out of the remaining dollars that are in the Veterans Commission Capital Improvement Fund, just as they do now on the operations and the other funding that's there. That is how we deal in this bill with a what has been called a permanent funding stream for the operation of these veterans homes and ancillary veteran services. Now, that leaves what we do for ECDEC funding, early childhood development funding, within the budget. Approximately $30 million of the $1 boarding fee was directed to ECDEC funding, early childhood development program funding. The state of Missouri will now, if this substitute is passed, would put in state statute that of the tobacco settlement proceeds, $35 million will be allocated to early childhood development programs. The way that the House dealt with holding harmless, or actually in this case, increasing the dedicated revenue funds to early childhood education by $5 million was to reduce the percentage payout of lottery proceeds. The testimony taken in committee and my recommendation to the body, the Senate body, found in this Senate substitute is to not go that route. I think it is pretty apparent from the testimony that I have seen and that we received in committee that if we reduce the payouts of lottery proceeds, we put at jeopardy the amount of money that lottery brings in. Every state that has reduced the payouts of their lottery has seen an exponential decrease in the amount of money that the overall lottery program brings into the state as available funds to spend, in our case, on education-related items. So instead of reducing the payouts of lottery and capturing approximately $35 million in that direction, what we have done is work with the administration, and under current law, the administration can find what lottery officials and lottery directors call the sweet spot, the balance between payouts and non-payouts that are captured for the state to maximize utilization of our state's lottery. And under that formulary, we have projected that we will see increased sales in lottery and budgeted those increased sales in lottery accordingly. That is our recommendation embodied in the Senate substitute and is dealt with here. The remaining issue that is captured in the Senate substitute is a prohibition of QRS, quality rating systems, within preschools in the state of Missouri. That is an issue that many senators have dealt with. That is an issue that many individuals have felt passionately about. Senator from the 7th, her passions as much as any and more than most on that issue. But that issue and that language has been embodied in the Senate substitute as well. So with that as an explanation, I don't think I'm leaving anything out. I will say in closing of my remarks and open myself up to questions of the body that there was dialogue and discussions about including a similar prohibition of what is commonly known as the Sue Scheer Institute. The Sue Scheer Institute is not mentioned in any way, shape, or form in the Senate substitute. That item, that topic, has been removed in its entirety from this legislation. There is no reference to it in any way, shape, or form. With that as an explanation, Mr. President, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Cape. Does any senator desire to be heard? The senator from Lewis was first on his feet. For what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape, do you yield the inquiry from the senator from Lewis County?
Thank you, Senator.
I can't believe I beat him.
Well, I mean, I can't believe he saw you relative to the senator from St. Francis.
A little more glow over there, you think?
You don't have the same tan.
Senator, I want to thank you for all the work and also Representative David Day for all the work you've done. I know it was an issue that I brought up last year, actually with trying to develop another lottery ticket because I knew the veterans funding was hitting a critical time and for the funding of those veterans, those people that have fought and given us the great country that allows us the chance to be here and debate these issues on the floor.
Right.
I think you did a very good job of explaining exactly what's done. You know, when I first started looking at it this year, I asked my staff to get together with appropriations and do a flow chart because it was not simple, was it?
It was from me to you, that flow chart, as Angie put it together. And I think as we say thanks to Representative Day, the appropriation staff and the ability to take these very complex issues that have developed over generations of legislators and numerous of individuals that have been a part of this. But Angie has done a phenomenal job all the way up to Dan and the rest of the appropriation staff. When we asked to look at all of the appropriations bills and all of the appropriation staff that are touched by this, just about everyone had to be called into the room. Every member of the appropriation staff, in one way or the other, is responsible for a component of this funding. It is a broad, nebulous tumor that exists and spreads all throughout
and
the state budget.
That's why I asked for the flow chart, because you know I come from a farm background and I like to just see it. But it was very complicated. I got to thank Angie, too, for her work on this. But I do think that what we're doing here, we're separating these issues back to the way they were originally designed, with the veterans going in, receiving funding from one place, and education actually getting all their funding from the other area. And I think
right.
That's what, and I heard a lot of legislators' comments that were here back in 1998 when some of that funding was taken away from veterans.
Sure.
But I want to thank you. I don't want to delay a vote on this because I think it's very important. This veterans issue is something, like I say, that we really need to get done.
Well, thank you, Senator. And I would have been remiss, and I should have mentioned this. The senator from Clay has an amendment that I'm supportive of. It deals with the severability issue. As many individuals know, in Missouri state law, every piece of legislation is severable unless there's a non-severability clause that's adopted. I think the senator from Clay, when she has an opportunity to be recognized, is going to offer that amendment and speak to it. I'm supportive of hers. That is something that I think is important and that needs to go forward and is an amendment that's dropped, and I should have explained it in my opening remarks. So I appreciate the opportunity during this inquiry to bring that up to you.
And I've got it on my desk here, so...
Correct.
Like I say, I want to thank you and Representative
and,
Dave.
And I would say I should have put in my remarks as well that I think the senator from the 7th is working in on distributing an amendment to fix another area of the bill.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you. To inquire the senator from Greene.
Senator from Greene County, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
I appreciate you yielding, Senator. I know you had concerns not so much with this bill, but with the compromise that brought this bill forward. And I thank you for not objecting to the day delay. For those that aren't paying attention, if we didn't do that, we'd have a day delay. We'd have to be here on Friday, and we'd be spending thousands of bucks on taxpayers' money on all these things. But I did want this to be kind of a preamble of... when the budget comes up, I think we're going to have a discussion on one of my favorite universities, the one I went to, Missouri State, and one that you represent. And I don't think that we need to necessarily slow this down because we need to get this going. But I just wanted to thank you for not objecting, and then hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about the funding and the compromise that brought this about.
Well, I appreciate the inquiry. My reason for standing up and inquiring and beginning to object was I got to say I took the words of the senator from Cape to heart about involving all members, and I had not been contacted or invited to participate in the discussion, and I guess it goes to the old adage that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So I wanted to at least know what was going on, and that's why I thought, we've slowed things down here for far too long. What's another little bit? However, after I was able to get all the facts and be briefed on everything, and I was aware of most of the things, but not how they all work together intricately.
I know you haven't been here long, and you can either be somebody that tries to facilitate things getting done or to hold things up, and I appreciate you taking the former rather than the latter, but we're going to talk about higher education funding and the coordinating board that's not so coordinated. We're going to talk about that in the future here in the next day, and the fact that this, the Missouri State Bears, and some people would say University of Missouri, got dumped on, and I don't know about the adage about what the bear does in the woods, but I think they got it done to them in the rooms last night. So we'll talk about that a little bit, but I appreciate you not holding this up. Let's get this done, and then let's have an open discussion.
I don't want to hold it up at all, and I think it just the point needed to be made that, no one senator's constituents are any less or more important than another senator. And certainly no less or more important than the constituents of the speaker. So that's why I stood up.
And all of them pale in comparison for us doing our constitutional duty to get a budget done this week.
That's right.
I thank you so much.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Clay was the first that the chair saw on her feet. For whatever reason, do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. It has been distributed. I will send it forward. Ask for a waiver of the reading.
Send it forward. Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived. Senator, did you move for the adoption of the amendment?
Mr. President, I would move for the adoption of the amendment to explain. The senator from Cape has already briefly mentioned it. I think everybody's seen these types of amendments before. It is a non-severability provision. As we all know, the portions in here that reins in a bureaucracy that seems to continue to try to find a way up, above, around, behind the legislature to do something that this body and the House of Representatives has refused to pass is something that's integral to the passage of this legislation. We have a statute for good or ill that says that everything is severable unless we make it non-severable. This makes it non-severable. I have the support of the senator from Cape concerning this. I would like to make a brief inquiry of two other senators. So with that, Mr. President, I would like to inquire the senator from Saline.
Senator from Saline, do you yield to the inquiry from the senator from Clay County?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. Senator, you've had an opportunity to look at this. Tell me your opinion. Do I have your support?
You do have my support. I do think that this is part of an agreement, and this welds them together, and I think that it's very appropriate. As you and a number of other of us have worked on the QRS issue for the last year and a half, I think that this is a fair solution and a way to move forward.
Senator, thank you very much. I appreciate the inquiry, Mr. President.
Senator from Clay.
May I inquire the senator from Stoddard?
Senator from Stoddard County, you yield.
Certainly.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. You've seen the non-severability amendment that I have, and I just want to confirm you had an opportunity to look at it. Are you familiar with it, and do I have your support?
You do have my support, Senator, and I think it's a good provision to include in there as we move forward. And certainly, with it being in there, I think it keeps some other things from happening or less likely that things can happen in the future in the way of litigation.
Very good. Well, Senator, I'm not going to belabor the point. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for the
wholeheartedly supported, Senator.
Thank you. Mr. President.
Senator Clay.
Just briefly speak on the amendment. It is integral to everything that we've been talking about having to do with this. A bureaucracy should not be able to get by regulation what they cannot get through legislation. It's an issue that we're continually seeing popping up, and this is a portion that is very key component to the passage of this legislation. Unless there are any questions, I renew my motion.
The senator from Clay has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you recognize close.
I close.
Senator from Clay renews her motion that the Senate Amendment 1 be adopted. All those in favor of adopting that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment 1. Senator from Lynn is on his feet. For what reason he rise?
I have an amendment. It has been distributed. I'd request a waiver of the reading.
Send the amendment forward. Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived. Senator, do you care to explain the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment to that amendment. I would ask to send it forward. It is very short. I would request a waiver. I would request that it be read.
Send that amendment to Senate Amendment 2 forward.
Is that changing?
Secretary, read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 2, offered by Senator Lager to amend Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1731, page 1, section 1, line 6, by striking the word, quote, the, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, a, close quote.
Senator, do you care to explain that amendment to the amendment?
I move for the adoption of that amendment. I'm going to talk about both of the amendments together. Essentially, the underlying amendment, what that would do is that would say by fiscal year 2015, the General Assembly will implement a funding formula for higher ed. What we have lived through in the last 48 hours underscores the insanity by which we fund higher education in this state. And this amendment doesn't say what that formula will be. What it says is that the Joint Committee on Education will go out and develop a comprehensive formula, and then they will bring that back to the legislature, and by the fiscal year 2015, the General Assembly shall implement, where it says the in the amendment, my amendment to the amendment changed that the to a. So instead of saying that they have to implement the formula that they come back with, it says they will implement a formula. That's two fiscal years from now, which gives two interim periods to get it worked out before it's implemented. My goal is to try to force the issue over the last couple of years, actually over the last 4 years. The Joint Committee on Education has looked at this. The COFI, I believe, has looked at this. And I believe the governor has had a panel that have looked at this. So there's been a ton of research done on how do we go craft an appropriate comprehensive formula. We've never forced the issue to say it's time to implement it. After the last 48 hours and what we've lived through, this amendment would force us to actually go finish this project. If there are questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from Christian was first on his feet. For what reason do you seek recognition?
Inquire of the senator from Ottawa.
Senator from Lynn, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I had already made up my mind not to stand in the way of doing the one constitutional duty we have to do in this body. So, you know, my school down in Southwest Missouri is not getting any money, as the senator from Green has spoke about. But when you bring this up, one thing I would certainly like the coordinating the board to look at, it would appear to me that we don't do a whole lot about per student funding.
Right.
And schools that are doing their job and growing and having more kids come in every year are getting, frankly, screwed.
Right.
Because they're getting punished because they're growing, because their funding's not going up. And a school that sets and does nothing and does not grow is getting fatter and fatter and fatter.
Right.
And that is not right. It's not fair. Missouri State is the third lowest funded school in this state, and it's not fair that that's the case. They're one of the fastest growing, if not the fastest growing.
And I just want to make that case, and I hope the coordinating board and I hope your committee will look at that.
Well, Senator, I think that you raise a very valid point, and thus the reason I want to force this issue, and that is right now, whenever we make, quote, equity adjustments to higher education funding, there's no rhyme or reason to why we do it. It's pure politics. The reality is that some group, it's time to act like adults. It's time to go create a comprehensive understanding of there are certain things that we value for higher education as we move forward. And the problem is, Senator, as you know, this is a very complex issue. Because depending on if you offer doctorate programs versus graduate programs and the individual different types of programs, all those things cost, they're all different in cost, they're all different in structure. And ultimately, right now, we're not taking any of that into account. And to your point, a school like the one in your area that has seen tremendous growth has actually received a per pupil decrease in funding because we do not have an articulated formula to move forward on.
Precisely.
So you're completely right on your issue, and that is why I believe it underscores why we need to get this done.
Well, I thank you, and I hope we can get this done.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Johnson County is next on his feet. For what reason do you rise, Senator?
I'd like to inquire the Senator from Mercer.
Senator from Mercer, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you for bringing up this amendment.
Senator, you have done, you and the Joint Committee, in my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, yourself and Representative Thompson in the House have led this effort. You've done a lot of work on this. You have a lot of information. But to be candid, we as a body have never forced the issue to bring it to closure. And we need to finalize this.
I think you're right. And I think we can look at the public school formula we came up with in 2005. Sometimes the best time to implement these is when you have extra funds so you can create incentives or you can have some what we call buy-in. Obviously, we know in higher education right now we don't have that. And so sometimes the formula is perceived as being a punitive thing, which I hope is not. Rather, it is a way to look at performance and see how these schools are doing and reward those that are really satisfying the mission that they should be doing.
Well, what I'm trying to do here is change the dynamic because right now, the reason they've never been able to get to a formula, from my understanding, is because right now the university presidents could not agree on one. And so, therefore, inaction.
And that's
continued.
They're a member of COFI, the public higher
institution. Well, what I believe needs to happen is either those people who understand this need to get into a room and get it resolved, thus the reason I'm giving 2 years, or we're going to do it. One way or another, we're bringing some sanity to this process. Now, what I don't want to do today is I don't want to dive us into the details because I don't think we'll ever get it resolved.
Right.
But my hope is that we can get to a comprehensive formula that everyone can agree to because then as revenues grow, you can grow into your formula.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the way you grow into that and reward those universities that are doing a good job. There's so many things to take into consideration. Dropout rate, how fast they graduate their students, as far as student-teacher faculty ratio, I think that's very important. So there's a lot of things to consider. And our universities have different missions. You know, some have open enrollment, and some are highly selective. And so how do you?
Some have statewide missions.
Exactly.
Some do not.
And some, quite honestly, their missions are a lot more expensive than others. And so all those things need to be taken into consideration. But there is a way that you can come up with a formula to reward those schools that are still doing a good job. And I think that's got to be part and parcel of that.
As I said, I'm not going to stand on this floor today and act like I understand all the details of what this formula needs to be. But what I do understand is we've got to get to a formula.
And you have confidence in the Joint Committee on Education.
You know what? I actually do have I have confidence by the time.
Because I do. Yeah.
I actually believe by the time that you navigate this room, the 34 people that will be standing in this room when that day comes, you will have a formula that's fairly balanced. I actually believe that what this committee brings back will probably in all likelihood be 98% of what gets passed.
Right. And do you know how many people are on the Joint Committee?
I do not know.
You don't know?
I do not know.
Seven House members and seven Senate members. Then they're appointed by their leadership. And then every other year they switch who's in charge as far as the Senator and the House.
And we actually have staff, right? That committee's staff?
Right, right. Dr. Priest is our executive director.
Right, and although she uses pronouns instead of nouns a lot, that frustrates me. The reality is she likes to say, well, they said this or they said that. Stop saying they. Who said what? Who's on
maybe put that in the amendment.
I should put that in the amendment, but I'm...
Senator from Livingston, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
The Senator from Caldwell has moved the adoption of the Senate Amendment 1 The Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 2. Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Green was on his feet. For what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator from DeKalb, do you yield?
I do, he does, Mr. Proceed. President. Thank you for the inquiry. You and I talked briefly here at the back, and I don't want to hold this up either.
No, you're fine.
I won't repeat anything that the senator from Christian said, but I do want to echo his comments. Just, I guess, for everyone's edification that may be listening, some people are probably already aware of this, but pre-term limits, the legislature, as we were discussing, would come in and true this up every so often as the attendance grew at the universities, and we haven't done that in as long as I've been here.
No,
that's
I never remember doing it.
So I want to thank you for this. I see a constituent upper gallery there. Not only do we have the inequity in Southwest Missouri and the distinction of being the lowest funded public institution as far as per pupil ratio, but our community college is the lowest in the nation. And that's a distinction that I think really has, and I have to say they're probably one of the most economical and do one of the best jobs that I can tell of providing a good quality education at a low price. So,
well, to reemphasize what the senator from Christian said, because his underlying point is incredibly valid. Right now, the way that this process works, schools who grow the fastest, who, for whatever reason, students decide that's where they want to go, they are inadvertently being punished because we have not been able to put the resources behind it. My articulation is, instead, I do not believe the right way to fund schools is to just look at a per pupil number. I believe that there is a very
one component,
a comprehensive approach that needs to be taken.
Sure, I would agree. It's just one
component.
The number
of students is part of that, but what they offer, how they offer, and be candid, Senator, what the results are, like what are they actually getting accomplished, those things matter. And
yes,
that's why we've got to look at this from a more comprehensive perspective, which is why we can't.
Well, I want to thank you again for bringing it forward.
No, thank you.
Like I say, I don't want to hold it up, but I want to just emphasize
in all fairness, so the members of this body understand, your concerns that you raised earlier, part of the reason you are comfortable continuing to move forward is your understanding that the inequitable, broken process that we use today is coming to an end. And we are going to get to a formula.
I hope so. I know some measures were taken by a group of us earlier this session to address some of the inequity in the community college funding, and that was just pressure applied outside the building with, when the leadership of the schools cannot come to agreement, and they all come to us, that puts pressure on the taxpayer, and when we can't come to agreement.
My understanding on the community colleges, which I would hope this would work very similar, the community colleges got together and said, man, if we don't come up with a formula ourselves, the General Assembly is going to do it. We sure don't want that. Community or university presidents be put on notice. If you do not come to a formula, we will.
And they might also want to recognize that under your amendment here, it's, as you stated a little bit ago, it's not just, I think it was the senator from Johnson, not just seven members from either chamber, but they're appointed by the leadership. So
that's right.
They may want to get together in advance and try to get some things worked out. But I want to thank you, and I won't take any more time. But
thanks, Senator.
Hopefully we can get this addressed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Gentry. Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Buchanan is on his feet. For what reason do you rise?
Prior of the senator from Lynn.
Senator from Grundy, do you yield? He does proceed.
Senator. I want to thank you for putting forth this amendment.
I had another amendment to the amendment where Northwest took over MoWest, but I decided not to move with that right now.
Well, you know, I do think that
university... I mean, every university is a community college, so I kind of thought we'd take
university
that.
University in a little teeny town in your district, and that, you know, the growing university in the big town in my district.
Right.
You know, they're very important. But my question to you is, and... I want to say that I'm very sensitive to the words of the senator from Christian and the senator from Green, because Missouri Western, as you know, has the lowest funding per pupil. And I recognize
Former
that in
state
order...
college, yeah.
The problem is that the current method of funding continues to widen the gap, and over the years, the equity has grown. In fact, the university in your district is also suffering from this growing disparity. So we're both on the same side of this. We need to get this fixed. But over time, the spreading out caused by the normal budgeting process has created an inequity that exists. And I recognize that creating a formula, it may not be feasible to implement the formula all at once. That may be difficult. And so what I'm asking is believe that the language of your amendment allows for the formula to include a phase-in.
Yeah, that, I tried to leave it very broad for that exact reason, is because I think, like most formulas that we do here, you actually grow into them. I would imagine that whatever comes out of this, we will have to grow into.
Right, okay. And so you, because being that it says shall implement a funding formula beginning in that year, I just want to make sure that you believe that those words allow for the phase in, and it sounds like you do.
I believe so. And I think, Senator, you know, part of what I also hope comes of this, which you and I have talked about this many times offline, is I also believe that as we work through this, all of these institutions of higher education need to take a look at what they do. It is time to stop duplicating. We need to diversify. We need to be very specific in what we're going to do. And let's go create schools that do a very good job of that. And hopefully this process will help bring everyone to that understanding.
I'm also glad to see that the correction from Missouri Western is maybe $1,000 more than that other school, but you know, I'm really glad to see that.
Sometimes overperforming schools don't get as much, but it's just unfortunate that happens.
Anyway, thank you for the...
Thank you, Senator.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Harrison. Does any other senator desire to be heard? The Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Do inquire the Senator from Holt.
Senator from Lynn, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
You've already used Lynn.
I'm going down the list.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and I've had an opportunity to talk with House sponsor that's here. He is okay with this moving forward. I assume he thinks he can be able to get this to move forward through the House and understands the issues.
He's a great American. I've got a lot of faith
in that
guy.
You have developed. So I'm supportive of your issue. I am also very, very pleased to see more senators come up and talk about this equity issue that didn't really view a $2 million increase to SEMO that would exacerbate the equity issues that many individuals are now decrying. So I think it is very important that we do this. We move forward and once again get out of this belief that because you hold any particular position, whether it be in the Senate or in the House, that somehow you're entitled to a special earmark. And that we do this, as I have raised and you have raised from the beginning of this dialogue, that we do it in an equitable manner that deals with the equity issues, not in a way that exacerbates those equity issues. So I'm appreciative of you setting this in path and actually doing it on a bill that we know is moving.
That's right.
And we'll be able to get there. So
what I think is... the one thing I would like to point out to this body that I think is vitally important is 45 hours ago, we were moving in a direction to go get the budget done as fast as possible. We just wanted to get to resolution. And although it has been difficult at times in that 45-hour window, I feel like we are in a much better place from public policy today.
Right.
Than we were then.
I do too.
Whether it's the advancement of this, whether it's dealing with the veterans issue. My point is, although it's not pretty and it's not easy, the process in the Senate works. And we've got to be willing to
followed.
Stay true to that.
When it's followed.
That's correct.
When it's allowed to work and when it's allowed to move forward direction.
Monday night at 7 o'clock, we were having discussions about a previous question motion. You know, Wednesday at noon, we're in a much better place that everyone is comfortable with, where we know we are dealing with our veterans issue moving forward. Within the next 2 years, we'll deal with our higher education formula issue. I mean, this is the way the body's supposed to work. And I understand it's not always simple, and at times it's frustrating. I get it. But that's why this body works the way that it does. And I believe it's why we actually end up with better public policy than if we operated like a mini house.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, and like I said, I just wanted the body to know what we're trying to do is to get in a position where we have these amendments that the House sponsor feels are not going to be issues so that, we have no intention of going to conference. We're trying to get it to where the House will be able to agree to this version in my dialogues with the House sponsor and Representative Day and all his hard work on this. He does not think that this is going to be a hindrance to that ability, so I'm supportive of your amendment. I appreciate your efforts on this. In fact, this will take us to a resolution that you highlighted and offered early on at the beginning of that 45-hour-ago period. So thank you very much, Senator. I'm supportive of the amendment and appreciate your efforts.
We're on the motion from the Senator from Livingston. Does any other senator desire to be heard? The Senator from St. Louis City in the 5th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to speak on the amendment for a moment, because I have a public university in my district, Harrisville State, and it right now it has a rather, let's say it receives more per pupil per student per pupil funds than some of the other universities that we've heard here on the floor today. But I'm in support of the amendment because we need to have that equity and that balance across the board. It shouldn't be such that they would have some so very low and some so very high dealing with public funds being distributed. So I do support the amendment, and I'm hoping that this bill will go forward with less discussion and that we'll be able to work in the future on similar things as it relates to higher education. Thank you.
We're on the motion from the senator from Nottoway. Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 11th, for what reason do you rise?
May I briefly inquire of the senator from Nottoway?
Senator from Sullivan, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Yeah, I was just curious. I mean, I assume this really, the last sentence, the General Assembly shall implement. I assume the General Assembly in 2015 can do whatever it wants, right?
You're absolutely right.
So this doesn't have
it doesn't bind them.
This doesn't have any binding effect or whatever.
As you know, we can never force anyone to do anything, but we have got to, in my opinion, use the tools at our disposal to bring this to resolution, and that's what I'm attempting to do here.
Okay, thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Worth, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe we are on the amendment to the amendment, and I would close on that motion.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 2. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Opposed to the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted the amendment to Senate Amendment 2. We're back on the underlying amendment. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, the senator from Atchison, you're recognized close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would renew my motion on amendment number 2. And with that, I close.
The senator from Caldwell renews his motion that we adopt Senate Amendment 2 with the amendment that's already been adopted. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted Senate Amendment 2. The senator from the 7th District in St. Louis County was first on her feet. For what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. It has been distributed, and I ask for a waiver of the reading. It ends in 13S, and I move for its adoption.
You send that amendment forward, Senator. Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived. Do you care to explain the amendment, Senator?
Sure, Mr. President. Thank you so much, and I want to start by thanking everyone who worked hard to address this. This basically makes sure in this language that we have that college professors have the freedom to choose the courses and training that they want. Protects college professors.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 7th to adopt Senate Amendment number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard? The senator from Johnson, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you very much, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, you yield. She does proceed.
The amendment is at point 13S, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. I think this part looks really good. I had talked to you beforehand that I had some public universities who teach teachers how to become teachers for early childhood, and they were concerned in an earlier version that it might infringe upon them, certainly accidentally. And so this language here that says shall not be construed to limit the content of childhood education courses by any public institution of higher education.
Right.
So I think that certainly satisfies that.
It was certainly my intent to make sure they have the freedom to teach what they think is appropriate, yes.
Right. Through their local curriculum or their Board of Governors, they can do that. And so they would not be limited
required,
or prohibited under some earlier language.
Required to do anything. It's kind of the university local control bill.
Exactly, right. So they should be, and that wasn't the intent at all, so.
Absolutely.
So I'm comfortable with this, and thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 10th District, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, you yield.
I do.
She does proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I just want to echo the conversation that just took place here. I had some of the same concerns raised, and I've been able to read you your amendment language and the language that's in the underlying bill, and I think that it looks good and makes everybody comfortable, and appreciate your work on this.
Well, and thank you for your work on it, too. It's certainly what I wanted to have happen, so I'm grateful we've got this good language that a lot of people contributed to.
Thanks, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of Senate Amendment 3? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 7th renews her motion that we adopt Senate Amendment 3. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted Senate Amendment 3. We're back on the Senate substitute. The senator from Jefferson County, for what reason do you rise?
Can I inquire the senator from Cape Girardeau?
Senator from Cape, you yield.
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you for your work on this bill. I know it's been very tense around here this week. But Danny Staples once told me every year is different, just like the year before, and it seems like things come to a head, and then cooler heads prevail.
Right.
And then we get down to
business. If given the opportunity to.
Right. I wanted to talk about how it's funded. So a dollar goes to a DOC city or DOC county, and then the other dollar goes to early childhood and veterans. Do I have that wrong?
No, basically what happens, and Senator, I am going to send to you a flow chart that I have got.
I'm talking about current, the way it is currently.
Right. These flow charts that I'm going to send to you show how both lottery and the boarding fee. Now, remember, it's a $2 boarding fee.
Right.
$1 of that $2 boarding fee stays on the local level. And
right.
We
goes
never
to the DOC city or DOC county.
Right. Right. The dollar that comes to the state, you'll see at the top, lottery funds, and then you'll see another one that says $1 boarding fee. That flow chart is how we do it today. The one that I have given you previously is how we will do it into the future.
Okay, so I guess the issue was we had a cap on what could go to the veterans. Is that correct?
Well, we took the $1 and we said some of it will go to ECDEC, some of it will go to veterans. And when we did that, there was an amount of money that was already in the Veterans Trust Fund. So they had this reserve account, basically. Mm-hmm. And what we've done over not quite a decade is we've drawn down all of the reserves because the remaining amount of the dedicated funding was not enough money to fund independently without drawing down those reserves,
okay,
the costs associated with the nursing home. Now, this gives me a perfect opportunity to raise it with any veterans or anyone else that's listening. Part of their funding problem, in my opinion, is the fact that they have not addressed their bed rates since 2006. All right? Costs have all gone up. And we are working in good faith as members of the General Assembly. And this has been a repeated issue. And I'm leaving, but the Veterans Commission has to address the fact that they have not increased since 2006 their occupancy rates. That is a component of their funding problem as well.
Prior to that, had they increased those bed rates at
On a periodic rate, but it's only done when we force the issue.
Right.
And the issue is going to be forced because they keep either wanting to repair the Mexico home or put a new home in the Kansas City area.
Okay.
And what I would implore to the members of the General Assembly that will be here as I'm term limited and moving on, that we do not fund those things until we have an understanding and a revisit of the occupancy rates that have not been increased since 2006.
Okay, that makes sense. And so your bill here basically takes early childhood out and that dollar just...
Out of that boarding fee money. Out of that dedicated boarding
right.
fee money where they would get approximately $30 million. which now it'll be funded, the way I read the bill, $35 million each year from the tobacco settlement funds. And that's basically the question I'm wanting to eventually get to is how long does our state continue to receive these tobacco settlement funds?
I think till 2025.
Okay. Well, but I know that's a long time away, but
yeah, but
to
from what the senator from House says, it doesn't matter because of the Mayan calendar in 2012.
Do you have a spot in his bunker?
I am making payments. They're very expensive. His designated slot. So he's put me on an installment plan.
I know 2025 is a long way, but
right.
I guess maybe the fear or the concern is, how are we going to fund early childhood education once we don't get any more of these tobacco settlement funds?
Well, the same way that we fund them now. I mean, through the appropriations process.
Yeah.
I think what many individuals with early childhood education through this funding process have seen, even though they had the boarding fee money, it's not guaranteed.
Right.
The Appropriations Committee in the Senate cut some of that money out, and they saw, I think, for the first time.
At least here we have a dedicated funding source. Whether it's appropriated or not is another question.
Well, and we have the dedicated funding source here with the tobacco funds.
Right.
But, Senator, I think what we're
finally... Until 2025.
Right. But I think what we're finally getting to, and where I would look at where you are, it is not right that we have these outside the appropriation expenditures of taxpayer dollars. All right? What you are hitting on, not to read your mind or put anything in, is early childhood education is subject to the appropriations process. But there are other things, tax credits in particular, that we'll spend almost $700 million on this fiscal year in redemptions that don't even go through the appropriations process, that because they don't go through the appropriations process will grow over $100 million, a 19% increase, as it seems every year you and I have been here, all we're talking about is cutting stuff.
Right.
That's it. The Carnahan years are over. We're the guys that showed up in our legislative service and the keg is flat.
I actually had two good years.
Okay.
And then after that,
two of those years, and for the rest of the time, you're here to clean up after the kegger.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it is. And so what we're dealing with is that, but we're still not addressing that structural problem.
Right.
That $700 million is going away through the tax credit process that doesn't even touch the appropriation process.
I've been with you along with most of the senators in here.
So it is an issue. As long as we spend money that way, we won't be able to get to that point where the appropriations process is a reflection of our shared values embodied in a budget. That's what a budget is. The budget you and your wife put together, the budget my wife puts together for me,
Notice that you're not doing this
we
as
do.
Much.
Yeah, I know. It is a weird deal, man.
It takes a while to get used to.
Yeah, I've never worn jewelry in my whole life. That's why I'm envious of the senator from the 13th, particularly when he wears that three-finger ring that he has. it's
right.
And that pinky ring, it's kind of nice.
You and I don't wear these pins either.
I don't do that. I don't do the license plates.
I wanted to at least make that concern known that
it is a valid concern.
Right. 2025 is a long time away. I appreciate your
it
hard work.
It is a valid
on
concern.
Concern.
Yes.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 5th was on her feet. For what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the senator from Cape Girardeau.
Senator from Cape Girardeau, do you yield?
I yield.
He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it. We had a lot of discussion about this bill in committee. I just want to kind of bring some things out for the body if I can and kind to clear up one thing for myself. In the House committee substitute itself, it was dropped on my desk today. On the first page of it, it talks about percentages of this aggregate money. Now, was that particular language rolled over into the bill that you had? It was not.
We got rid of that language.
All right. So that...
Remember the discussion that we had in committee where in order for the House to get the money that they wanted to replace the existing early childhood education when they gave the veterans 100% of the boarding fee money, mm-hmm. they wanted to reduce the payouts
yes.
of lottery, and that's how they were going to get roughly $35 million. Our committee heard testimony that if you do that, that will have a geometric right. exponential reduction in the overall lottery proceeds that the state would receive, and that every state that had done that had not seen a stable or increasing revenue generation through lottery. They have, in fact, seen a massive reduction.
Absolutely. So the percentages are out, but just let me say this one thing about it. Because yes. these dollars will fluctuate anyway
right.
as a result of sales that we can't control
right.
and payout that has a
right.
right. Wouldn't a percentage be a little better than a number, an actual figure itself?
Those are the compromises that individuals wanted.
Okay.
And currently, the boarding fee monies are pretty static.
Yes.
They're inelastic for whatever reason. It's pretty flat. It always is what it is. And that's how we got that. They had been accustomed to the $30 million, and the deal in the negotiations is that we would guarantee them $35 million, but we didn't want to tie them to a percentage because we didn't want to tie the General Assembly's hands if those lottery proceeds or those tobacco proceeds fluctuated. In fact, to the senator from Jefferson's point, the tobacco funding will eventually ramp down.
Right.
And if you tied it to a percentage of that, there is the thought that instead of having the $35 million, it would actually go down.
Okay.
Now, remember, all we are saying is a minimum of $35 million of the tobacco can be spent on early childhood.
Right.
We spend approximately $220 million currently in this fiscal year on early childhood.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, this isn't going to stop. You know, this isn't the only funding that we do for early childhood.
True.
And the other reason that we needed to get out of the way in which the House did this by saying that we're going to use the decrease in payouts of lottery funds as a way to fund early childhood. Many of the early childhood programs that we have are not administered through DESE.
Right.
And because our Constitution says that lottery funds, gaming funds, those type of funds can only be spent on education, you know, the many of the grants for preschools and other things are run through the Department of Social Services.
Right.
That would set up a constitutional question and possible violation where we would no longer be able to administer those early childhood education programs.
Okay. Thank you for refreshing my memory on that. Right this very day, how much aggregate money are we talking about as it relates to the lottery and to the tobacco funds in this bill? How much aggregate are we talking
very
about?
Very good question. The lottery funds that the budget is based upon estimate that the state of Missouri will bring in $323 million of lottery proceeds.
Okay.
The budget is based upon tobacco of how many millions are we thinking we will get? $150 million in tobacco proceeds.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
All right. And last question. Did we not break out exactly what programs and exactly where the ECDEC money, the $30 million in
ECDEC? I gave you a flow chart of where that went on the existing, and if you don't have it, that's what I gave the senator from Jefferson.
We had it in
the
committee.
We are not doing that in statute. That is done in the budget and in the appropriations process.
Okay, it's not in statute. That was my question.
Right. It's not line itemed in the statute. It is done in the appropriations process.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Thank you.
As any other senators already heard, the senator from the 1st District in South St. Louis County was not first on his feet. For what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire the senator from Cape?
Senator from Cape, you yield to the inquiry from the senator from the 1st. He does proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. Just in the process of the different inquiries, you were going through parts of this bill, and I'm just trying to see what we're doing with this bill as far as the lottery is concerned. Actually, there's nothing in this bill that affects the lottery. Is that correct?
I need to correct something that I said before I get into your question.
All right.
I just received a carrier pigeon correspondence from the Attorney General's office, and they have informed me that according to the master settlement agreements of the, let me phrase this the way it is. Pursuant to the terms of the master settlement agreement with the tobacco companies, the tobacco settlement payments are in perpetuity. They do not stop in 2025. So the master settlement agreement has them showing, or the terms of that master settlement agreement have these state payments lasting in perpetuity, not in 2025. When the MSA was entered into, most of the charts that were shared with states, including appropriation staff and everyone else, only estimated payments out to 2025. So our estimates are to 2025. Due to the numerous variables in the formula calculating the payments, but the Attorney General wanted to make sure that we knew, and I appreciate Jones sharing this information with me to correct a statement that I made, that the actual master settlement document has the payments continuing in perpetuity. The year 2025 is just the latest estimates that we have, Senator, to show that. So I wanted to correct that, and I appreciate the AG's office correcting me.
Right, right. And just on that note, before we move on to my other question, a couple variables in that money that comes to the state of Missouri through that master settlement. It's my understanding that's based on how many packs of cigarettes you actually sell. Is that correct?
Correct. And also whether you adopt what is commonly called gray market or non-participating.
Oh, yes. Right, right. So on those two notes, it's been said on this floor that, you know, there's reluctance to raising the tax on a pack of cigarettes in the state of Missouri because we're the lowest in the country. Yet, if we do raise that tax and we actually sell less cigarettes, less money for education.
Right. If we actually do what the advocates say, we will have less money, not more money.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So I think it shows that it's not really about decreasing smoking. It's just getting more money to spend in Jefferson City.
Right, right.
We truly wanted to do something about smoking, not to get off of the topic here,
right.
The fastest way to do something about smoking is to charge 100 times more for health care of those that test positive for nicotine.
Yeah.
And then that will change behavior. Until you affect an individual's own bottom line and their outcome, you're never going to change their behavior. All we end up doing as a government is subsidizing that poor lifestyle choice.
Right.
And I talked about this briefly. Senator McCaskill, you know, she's ashamed of the state of Missouri because we have the lowest cigarette state tax in the state. But she refuses to do anything about allowing the state the flexibility to charge Medicaid recipients that smoke 3 packs of Marlboro Reds a day differently for their Medicaid coverage as opposed to the Medicaid recipient that runs 3 miles a day. And if we want to talk about tobacco, let's get to the real one, which is obesity. Obesity is the killer in the expense of all expenses. Tobacco, you develop one of those ancillary diseases, it'll kill you. Obesity, you just get sick and sick and sick and sick and sick all the way through your diabetes and everything else.
Senator, let me just jump in here because I see that we have some school children that have joined us in the Senate today. And I want to just address the idea that we're building a budget that funds education, public education, around the lottery. All right, so I want you to maybe share, when these children are still here, the importance of their parents going out and buying, you know, lottery tickets.
Right.
Because that's how we're going to build a budget as far as funding education.
And smoking.
And smoking, yeah.
And gambling. But, not just lottery, but gambling.
They need
to do their fair share of bingo and table games.
Right, exactly. So in this bill, what are we doing to change lottery? Anything?
No.
Okay. But I did hear you mention something about this idea of a sweet spot Yeah, you know, that the director of the lottery has been encouraged to find the sweet spot as far as what the prize level of the prize money should be, right? The percentage
Correct.
That's paid out so that we can bring in the maximum money possible so that these children's schools can be funded, the public schools in our state, since
Correct.
We're building the entire budget around how the lottery brings in money.
Correct.
Right? Right, because I've got the data on the last 20 years as far as what the lottery has brought into this state. And, Senator, over the last 20 years, you can go back and the largest increase, let me take that back, over the last 10 years, the largest increase from one year to the next has been $23 million growth from one year to the next. It's my understanding, Senator, that in this budget that we're going to be passing out of this body, that the lottery number shows a growth of over $51 million from what's going to come in this year to the next year. Is that correct?
We're assuming in this budget that lottery will come in around $171 million. The numbers that this current fiscal year are based upon.
I'm sorry, let me correct you.
$271 million. I apologize.
Yeah.
The current budget numbers are based on an assumption that lottery will bring in $323 million.
Correct.
Yes. And in order to be balanced. That every budget is based upon assumptions, Senator, and each one of us have to reach our own conclusions on what are the realistic nature of those assumptions.
Right, right. I just thought it was timely that we had the students here in their
sure.
capital today, and just wanted to let them know.
That is something you and I have raised throughout our careers, our legislative careers, that, you know, we have based one of the most precious responsibilities of a society and its successfulness, the education of future generations, based upon the utilization of vices. That we hope that we teach our students at the age that they are to avoid later in life because of the potential destructive consequences that can come from those vices, smoking, gambling.
Right, right.
It's a very ironic, very disappointing, very surreal reality when you start digging into the undertones of a state's finances, a state's budget that many people may not be aware of.
Right. Well, there is hope for them, though, because we did appropriate $4.7 million more for advertising for the lottery
right.
On top of what we appropriated this year. So, you know, there's a shot. You know, there, you know, it's a roll of the dice,
right.
But there is a shot, Senator, that we might get to that $51 million. Thank you, Senator. Thank you,
Thank
Mr.
You.
President.
Thank you, Mr.
Does any other
President.
Senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Johnson is at his desk and on his feet. What
Thank
reason
you.
He writes?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the senator from Cape Girardeau.
Senator from Cape, you yield.
I yield. I cannot believe it took you that long to get recognized.
Really? And I've been trying and
been patient.
Patient.
I mean, a senator that is known for doing nothing but following the rules.
Exactly.
To the letter of the rules.
Letter of the law.
And the spirit
of recognition.
The rules. Yeah. It's I don't know. I would write my state senator a letter and let him know how disappointed you are.
That's a good idea.
Or send him an email.
Or send him an email. That's right. Earlier in an inquiry, you mentioned a little bit about the capital improvements dealing with veterans.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, Senator.
I did notice the, I think he's still up in the upper gallery, the chairman of the House Committee on Veterans. Is he still there?
He is. He's masked himself behind that plaster faux marble column.
What do you think of the pink tie? What do you think of the pink tie that he's wearing?
He is wearing a masculine pink tie.
Yeah. I don't know. If
I good. Say that because, Senator.
You have one just
I
like
have
it.
One.
Just like it. No, it's not. He didn't wear that when he's in the military, that's for sure. So, but it's good that he's here, and we appreciate all his support. So, and he didn't wear that at home either. capital improvements, and I think we all are very concerned that we take care of our veterans, and our veterans' home program in Missouri is probably the best in the country. But I think we all agree that we need to take care of what we have before we start an expansion. And if we are ever going to have an expansion, it needs to be something that, we as a legislative body are fully embracing, and that we have a plan of where that's going to go. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. That is one of the other departures that I've talked about from the way that the House did it, the way that we're doing it. This money will flow into the Veterans Capital Trust Fund, but it will not flow out until authorized by the General Assembly.
Right. And it's for that very reason, because we want to have some input, we want to have some authority of where we're going to expand, or if we're going to even expand.
And one of the issues, upon numerous, do we repair Mexico before we build new?
Right.
And I think the General Assembly has to have a say and have the ability as the elected representatives of this state to visit that. That should not be unilaterally outsourced to a Veterans Commission, even though you serve on that very commission.
Exactly.
And I think you feel the same way.
Exactly. On the other hand, they certainly need input from the Missouri Veterans Commission, which, of course, we have two senators that serve on that.
Right.
But it should not be staff-driven, or it should not be something the staff or the governor's office says, this is where we're going to go.
Right.
It needs to have advice and consent of the Veterans Commission and then be a part of the legislative process.
Correct.
Because, quite honestly, I've been led to believe in the 2 years I've been on the Veterans Commission that replacing a Mexico veterans home was the priority.
Yeah.
And then in our Appropriations Committee, voila, a new veterans home in Kansas City or St. Louis. Where did that come from?
It's amazing how those earmarks jump up.
Yeah. And, you know, in the legislature, we don't like surprises. And so we need to be a part of that process as we go through this in the future.
Thank you. And that's one of the changes that we made in the Senate version relative to the House. So this is not a standing appropriations to the Veterans Commission.
Right. I think that's good. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank
Mr.
You,
President.
Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the underlying Senate substitute? The senator from Phelps.
I'd like to inquire Senator from Cape real quick.
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I yield.
He does.
Senator, and my chairman, I've been your vice chair for 2 years in Veterans, and that's been an honor for me. When we started this discussion, I must be honest, I had my doubts, but Representative Day is one of my guys and has institutional knowledge, and your institutional knowledge and leadership has got us to a really good piece of legislation. I think we no longer have veterans pitted against small children for educational funds, and I think that's where we needed to be a long time ago. So, you know, with that said, we both care deeply about early childhood and veterans. I think this is a great piece of legislation, and I think we should quit talking about it and vote. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Senator, and I appreciate your leadership as well.
No. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate substitute? Hearing none, Senator from Cape, you are recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Cape renews his motion that the Senate substitute be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Committee substitute to House Bill 1731, as amended by the Senate substitute, be read a third time and put upon its final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Cape Girardeau. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion?
Mr. President, if I could be heard on that.
Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President. I should have told people that there is an emergency clause in the Missouri Senate. The motion for an emergency clause is non-debatable. So I want everyone to know that the reason that we have an emergency clause, our fiscal years in June 30th, and legislation pursuant to the Constitution, absent an emergency clause, goes into effect on August 28th. So what we are hoping with this bill, because it is an appropriations type bill, that the appropriations process is built upon this bill passing, that its effectiveness will take place upon the governor's signature as opposed to August 28th, and we can seamlessly integrate this legislation into the fiscal year that will begin July 1, 2012. That's why we have an emergency clause. I cannot talk about the emergency clause when I move for it because it's non-debatable, but at this time, making the third read motion, I wanted to bring to the attention of the body the necessity for that emergency clause.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Cape, you are recognized. Close.
I close.
The Senator from Cape renews his motion that House Committee substitute for House Bill 1731, as amended with the Senate substitute, be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 1731, an act relating to the use of gaming monies with an emergency clause. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviny, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt,
aye.
Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Saline, votes aye. Senator from St. Francis, votes aye. Senator from the First, votes aye. Senator from Franklin, votes aye. Senator from Howell, votes aye. By your vote of 34 aye, 0 no, the bill's received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the emergency clause.
Secretary, call the roll on the emergency clause.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviny, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt,
aye.
Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the First is in the chamber, but his vote is not recorded. Votes aye. By your vote of 34 aye, 0 no, the emergency clause is adopted. Without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting. Motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. You recognize the Senator from Boone on a privilege motion.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the conferees on Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2003 be allowed to exceed the differences in sections 3.165, 3.180, 3.185, 3.190, 3.195, and 3.200.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Boone. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none. All those in favor of Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Boone. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion is carried. Senator from 23rd.
Would you see if there are messages from the House? If there are, would you please have those ready?
There are messages. Secretary, the message from the House. There are. Secretary, read that message.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has adopted Senate substitute as amended for House Committee substitute for House Bill 1106 and has taken up and passed Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 1106 as amended. Also, the House has concurred in Senate Committee Amendment 1 to House Bill 1188 and has taken up and passed House Bill 1188 as amended. Also, the conferees on Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2003 be allowed to exceed the differences. Also, the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 566, an act relating to vaccination of dogs and cats against rabies, with House Amendments 1 and 2, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to announce with the changes in the schedule this afternoon that the General Laws Committee will be meeting following recess or adjournment at Senate Committee Hearing Room 1, which is a change in location.
Further announcements. Senator from Johnson.
Mr. President, your hardworking Education Committee will be meeting at 1:30 in the Senate Lounge. We just have one small bill to exec on, but we will be meeting shortly in the Senate Lounge. Education. Thank you.
Further announcements. The Senator from Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. President. I knew you'd find it interesting, so I thought I would announce to the body that off to my left and to your right is a school group here from New York up here seeing their state capitol in operation, and I'm glad they took a few minutes to come in and watch us here in the chamber. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements. Senator from the 13th, you have an announcement.
Inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone County. Senator from Boone, do you yield to the Senator from the 13th?
I do.
Before we leave or adjourn or recess, do you have any idea of what the schedule is for my day today?
No, but I should very shortly. Obviously, we had to get through the step of the bill that we just passed.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Further announcements. The Senator from Johnson. He's not recognized. The Senator from Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to remind the members of the Committee on Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, and the Environment. We'll have a short executive session at 2:45 p.m. this day in the Pershing Conference Room.
Further announcements. Senator from the 11th.
Of the Senator from 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd. Does the junior Senator from St. Charles yield to the inquiry from the Senator from the 11th?
Yes,
he does.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I know that there are still some of these you may not have certain definite answers yet, but what's going to happen the rest of the day? Are we
going to recess? We're going to make a recess motion till 4 p.m.
Okay.
And then we're going to work about an hour, get done at 5. Sensitive to what we've put our Senate staff through.
Sure.
And so.
I agree. And I also, is it your intent? We brought this issue up before, but as our budget conferees are meeting from the body, we will be cognizant of the what we're putting them through, and that if we do have action on the floor, that we're aware of that and know that those people are in a difficult position of having to do both sometimes.
That's a good reminder. Yep.
We'll be sensitive to what we're going to on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're on the order of business of announcements. Further announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 4 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 23rd. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We stand in recess until 4 p.m. this day.